Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, find verse number 1. Matthew 28, starting with verse number 1. Once you find Matthew 28, verse 1, I want you to stand with me very quickly. I'm going to read the scripture out loud. You can follow along silently. And let me read to you these 8 verses. The Bible says this: "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And, behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." If you look back at me, I want to talk to you this morning. I want to retell the story of the resurrection. But in a moment, we're going to kind of turn off the most common path for the resurrection. And I want to show you some of the people and who they were and how they were affected at the day of the resurrection. Let me pray. Father, your presence is obvious. I do believe that you want to do something spectacular today. May we not limit it. There is no one here today, Father, by accident. Everybody here is here by divine appointment. Maybe they didn't even know they were coming. But you did. And you have something for them. Spirit of God, please do not allow me to limit this service. May you have full reign, and may your will be done. Help the interruptions to be minimized. And I pray, God, that you will help someone's life today, again, in a supernatural way. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can have a seat there. In what we just read, we are actually a few verses after what we call the crucifixion. Jesus had been crucified on Golgotha. He had been beaten and tortured. And he is buried in a borrowed tomb. This tomb would have been the type that they would have walked into. They placed some guards around that tomb because there had been the prediction that Jesus was going to get out of that tomb. The government at that time, they put guards out there just in case some body snatcher would come along and try to take that body. It would make it so that they couldn't create some fable or some, you know, historical event. And they didn't realize that there were no guards that were going to keep him in that tomb. And the only body snatcher would be the Holy Ghost of God, was about to yank his body out of this world and take it onto a place called glory. But they did have the guards outside that tomb. It was early on a Sunday morning. The sun would soon rise. There were some women that were on their way to the tomb. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene was there. One called another Mary, Joanna and Salome. They were worried that they could not get into his body to anoint it because of the great stone that had been placed at the front of the sepulcher. And about that time, a great earthquake hits and an angel comes down from heaven. The angel rolls back the big stone or the tomb door and he sets on it. Kind of a neat touch, you know. I love what God does. About scared the guards to death. You know, these guards were told, you go guard that sepulcher to make sure that they can't, you know, put this on the front page of the New York Times, that he arose from the dead. The Bible says that when that angel rolls that stone back and climbs up there on top of that stone, the guards almost have heart attacks. The Bible says they were as dead men. They were falling backwards and speechless, like,
who's going to tell the boss about this, you know, or try to figure it out. And the angel tells these women now, the women, I think they're feeling real good about this. I don't know if the guards said to the women, who do you think you are? And about that time the earthquake hits, the angel rolls the stone back, gets up on top of the stone, and the guards are going, oh, and then I'm sure that the women there said, we're with him. we're with him. And so the angel then tells these women, they said, I know who you seek, but he's not in here. He's risen. The angel said, go tell the disciples. It's happened. They go into the tomb and they find that the tomb is empty. And I love it. The Bible says they went over to where his body had laid and his grave clothes were folded. Young people, Jesus cleaned his room before he resurrected. His grave clothes were folded and he was not there. And they run to tell everybody. Peter and John, they also come to the tomb and they find it empty. When Mary then steps away from the tomb for a moment, she comes face to face with the resurrected Savior. She didn't know it was him at first. But he said her name. I don't know how or what. But all he did was say, Mary. And she said, oh, I've heard that voice before. Then immediately she knew who it was. She knew it was him. She fell to the ground and began to worship him. That story went down in religious history, and that story went down in secular history. That story changed the world. After the resurrection, Jesus meets with some of his disciples, and he wants to kind of pull it all together and give him a little instruction about it. I think he said, hey guys, we need to have a little powwow. Been through a lot the last couple days. Want to get everybody back on the same page. Got a couple things I'd like to ask you to do. In Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, he says this to them. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. What he was saying was, he said, what I just did, this resurrection, now you're set up to go reach the world. I'm sure they wondered, how do you do that? But I think he proved to them that there was enough power in whatever he asked to be done, that it could be done. I mean, any guy that can resurrect himself from the dead has the power to send us to the world and say, now go reach him. He did the same thing in Mark chapter 16. He said to them in Mark 16, 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke, he tells them this. He says, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it is behoove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In John 20, it says, then said Jesus again unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. So he went through the crucifixion, he went through the resurrection, and he pulled them together right before he went back to heaven, and he said, now I'm going to give you a task. And he was saying, now that we have proven that this is the real deal with the resurrection, now that I've shown you the power that is available to me and to you through my Father, now go reach the world. Get them saved. Help people. Help people realize victory is available. You see, victory over the grave is quite a great victory. And look, if God can have victory over the grave, and if God can save you and I because of that resurrection and that victory, there are a lot of other things that God can give us the power to do. Of course, he was trying to reach a lost and dying world, but I got to thinking a little bit about some of the people mentioned in the resurrection story. I'm going to mention them to you real quickly this morning because I think you might find an element of help in what I noticed. I want you to see that the resurrection and the victory and the power of the resurrection is somewhat demonstrated, and there's a lesson for you and I based on who were the people surrounding Jesus at the time of the resurrection. For instance, let me show you. There's a lady at the resurrection. Her name is Mary Magdalene. Matthew 28:1, it says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and another Mary to see the sepulcher." So this is resurrection time. Nothing is in the Bible by accident. Mary Magdalene is at that resurrection for a reason. I wonder if through history we missed it. I happen to believe I stumbled onto it. I am so excited about this. Who is this Mary Magdalene? Why was she at the resurrection? Let me tell you who she was. The Bible says in Mark 16:9, "Then when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared unto Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils." She's an ex-prostitute that Jesus had cast seven devils out of. Saved. Scarred by her past, but saved for a new future. And I happen to believe that God had Mary Magdalene at the resurrection so that Mary Magdalene could see what God could do. And I wonder if Mary, up to that point in her life, wondered, you know, I got saved, I got a mess of my life, and people know my past testimony. Could I ever do anything for God? And God said, let me show you something, Mary. If Jesus can be resurrected, the same Jesus that saved you can take your life. And though you're scarred from a wicked past, I can give you a wonderful future. I happen to believe that Mary said, I am with him, and I know what my future holds because of what I just seen him do. I think because of the resurrection, God had a Mary Magdalene there who had a terrible past, and it was there to say, there's victory for your future. Hey, are you here today, but you're haunted by a wicked past? Have the scars of sin influenced you? Do you glance back at that one day or that one year or that one occurrence? Do you glance back at things where you know you were not right with God and you messed up your life, and sometimes the devil uses it against you? And he says to you, you can't do anything for God. You're worthless. I know your past. Well, let me tell you something. You look the devil right in the eye and say, you may know my past, but God knows my future. And Mary was there. The prostitute was there when Jesus resurrected so that it could be said to Mary, Mary, this power is available for you from here on out. I think God wanted the ex-prostitute to be present at the resurrection and that time to tell her, just like everybody else, victory is available. Saved. Scarred, sure, but forgiven. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? I look out into this sea of faces here this morning, and I know not everybody here, you were reared in a good atmosphere. Not everybody here came up in the church, but let me tell you something. The day that Jesus resurrected from the grave, he made sure Mary Magdalene was there so he could say to everybody, it doesn't matter where you came from, it matters where you're going, and the day you got saved, you became a part of my family, and victory is yours. And then I thought, I wonder who else was there at that moment of resurrection. I really don't think it's an accident, these people that surround that little event. I think there are personalities of unique situations. Hey, Peter was there. Oh, Peter. The Bible says in Luke 24:12 that then arose Peter and ran into the sepulcher. Huh. Who is this Peter? He's the first pope. No. He's not. Who is this Peter? John 18:27, it says, Peter then denied again and immediately the cock crew. Who is Peter? Who is this Peter that is at that moment of resurrection? Maybe from all indications, he may even still be backslidden. You remember, it's just a few days before. Peter is warming himself by the devil's fire, and someone said, I know who you are. Hey, you're close friends with Jesus. And Peter said, I am not. Blankety blank blank. Fill in the blanks. He cussed. He denied. He lied. Probably still backslidden. And God had him at the resurrection. Why? I think God wanted to say to you and me, The resurrection can bring you out of your backslidden state. Do you all know what happens in a few days with Peter? Peter was there. Peter was backslidden. Peter denied Christ. Now he shows up at the resurrection. God is saying there is power in the resurrection. And Peter, you are backslidden, but you're about to get a glimpse of what I can do for someone that's backslidden. We can overcome that backslidden condition that you're under. And in just a few days, Peter is going to stand in the back of a pickup truck and he's going to preach revival at the place called Pentecost. And 3,000 people are going to get saved. What was God doing? God was saying, hey, backslidden Christian, if you're away from God, I can bring you back and you can still do something great for God. Boy, that's what happened with Peter. Are you here today? You're saved, but you're backslidden. You're away from the Savior. You used to be faithful to God. You used to be faithful to church, but not anymore. You're saved, but you're not spiritual. You're a member that sometimes feels like a visitor. I think God wanted backslidden Peter at that tomb so that God could remind Peter that he's saved and victory is still available. I think he had Peter though there so he could say, Peter, you're saved and you can get back on board. I can still use you. He let the resurrection draw him back and made him realize, look, folks, you say, preacher, I'm in such a mess. I don't know how I could get back. Let me tell you something. If Jesus can self-resurrect, he can give you the power to get back to where you need to be in your Christian life. You have not lost your salvation. You might have lost some of His blessing. You have not lost your salvation. You may have lost some of your joy. You have not lost your salvation, but you have lost some spiritual victory. But I've got good news for you. The very same resurrection power that was demonstrated to Peter that resulted in a day of Pentecost is the very same resurrection power that is available to you who are backslidden. Nobody knows how backslidden you really are, do they? Matter of fact, you don't even realize it. You have self-justified every step away from God. You've got all the reasons in the world for being backslidden, and they all just add up just right for you. You personally don't even realize how backslidden you are. But let me tell you something. God could take a sermon like this on the resurrection and pop that truth into your heart and resurrect your backslidden attitude. I was studying this, and I got to tell you, I was so thrilled. I thought, I wonder if those personalities are there for a reason. I believe Mary Magdalene was there for a reason. I believe that God had Peter there for a reason. I got to looking. There's a lady by the name of Joanna there. We really don't know a lot about her. But she's there. And God, there's no mistakes. There's no uh-ohs. God didn't ever wake up one morning and say, I said what in the Bible? Every word is there for a reason. Luke 24:10, it says, and it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna. Who is this Joanna? She was the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward. The Bible says in Luke 8:3 these words, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward. The wife of Herod's steward. Now let me tell you who Herod was. Herod hated Jesus. Okay? Now, Joanna is the wife of one of Herod's top guys, which means this. So you all know, Herod is the one that cut off the head of John the Baptist. It doesn't sound like he's real friendly toward the church. If y'all hear that my head gets cut off, I probably wouldn't have the one that did it come preach for you next service. That's the situation here. Herod hated Jesus. Herod hated the church. This lady named Joanna, her husband was in the ranks of Herod. He was one of his top guides. He was his steward. Y'all remember on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about money. Well, who is a steward? It's somebody that takes care of all the stuff of somebody else. Herod trusts this guy enough that this guy takes care of all of his money and his investments. All right? Now, who is this Joanna? What's she doing there? Sounds to me like Joanna may be the only one in her house that believed in Jesus. Sounds to me like maybe Joanna was the one in her house that had been saved, wasn't afraid to let people know, this Christ, He's the Savior. Now, I want you to think about it for a second. Do you think there was ever any pressure on Joanna? When she picked up her Bible and went to church anyway, when her husband stayed home, when her kids mocked, she decided, I'm going to live for God anyway. The morning of the resurrection, I went if her husband said, where in the world are you going so early? She said, I'm going down to the graveyard. He said, what for? He's resurrecting. Ah, honey, don't be caught up in all that foolishness. Don't. The boss is going to hear. I don't care. They crucified him. He said he was getting up, and I'm going down to see the Savior. Somebody at work can turn their nose up at your Christianity, and you put your tail between your ever-loving legs and run and hide. Wow, Joanna, what are you doing there? I think she represents that person taking a stand for Jesus Christ, and they just are outnumbered. You young people, you go to the public school, and I realize our Jesus is not exalted in the public school. Let me tell you something. If you have to do it alone, you stand for Jesus in the public school. And if you've got to go down here and work in some office or some factory somewhere, and you got to do it, and you're surrounded by people that think God's last name is a cuss word, and they're crude about Jesus and crude about the church, and they think there's something wrong with you because you bow your head and you close your eyes at lunchtime. Let me tell you something. The day of the resurrection, God made sure there was somebody there that had to face an outnumbered enemy, and she took her stand. And I think God was just saying to her, I'll give you the power to stand if you got to do it all alone. She was standing alone. Maybe her husband had forsaken her. Her friends mocked her. Her family did not understand her attachment to Jesus Christ and her commitment to his local New Testament church. I think God said, I want Joanna at the tomb to say to her and everybody like her, you are not alone. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I notice you. I see the stand that you're taking. There are a lot of events in history I wish I could have seen. To be honest, I don't think I want to see the crucifixion. I don't think I could take it. But Brother Matt, I would like to see the resurrection. They thought he was down, but he got up. I would have liked to have been there. I do not think it is an accident for one moment that this one lady who decided she was going to take a stand, though outnumbered by her family and outnumbered by society. Look, her husband ran with the big wigs that crucified him. And she said, but I still believe. And I'm going down there to see the resurrected Savior. Oh, what an encouragement. I don't think it's a mistake or an accident that Joanna was there. If you're lonely today, you say, I feel like sometimes with even my family, I take a stand and it's lonely. God knows. And God cares. I'm sure there's some young person that came into Sunday school today, and you don't understand this unless you've ever been there. I'm just sure there's some third grade boy or third grade girl here, and they're in our Sunday school, and they're the only person in their entire family that goes to church. And they're the only one that believes in Jesus, and they're doing it all alone. They get up and come to Sunday school without mom and dad's help. And they grab their Bible. And someday you need to be out here where Brother Jim and Brother J.R., when the kids are coming in, and watch them. They jump off the bus and they run into church, don't they, Jim? They run with a big old smile on their face. You say, what are they so happy about? Some of the hell that they escaped earlier in the week, and finally they're at that place where they're not alone, and they're surrounded by people that love them, that believe in them, that exalt the Jesus that they say they serve. What are you doing there, Joanna? I think she would tell you, I represent those people that'll take a stand when they're outnumbered. I kept looking. I noticed this. We see that Mary Magdalene was there, But there's some words in there. It says, the other Mary. The other Mary. This other Mary was at the crucifixion. She was at the resurrection. Matthew 28, verse number 1, it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, who was she? Now, this is not the other Mary, Jesus, the mother of Christ. This is Mary, the mother of James. They called him James the Less. Now, I'm also reminded of Mary, the mother of Jesus. This Mary is a mom. And I thought about this. I said, Lord, I need you to kind of make clear to me. When I glanced at Joanna and when I glanced at Peter and Mary Magdalene, it kind of jumped off the page at me. That what uniqueness for their presence. I said, Lord, why Mary? What is the uniqueness? And the Lord said to me, He said, the position of mom is such an exalted one. And mama's love very deeply. And mama's hearts can become very heavy. And I think God said, Jeff, I think God wanted a mom there. So that every mom could hear a preacher someday say, Mama, you can do this. You have the power to keep being a mom. You have the power, you have the strength. You can do what you need to do. I'll be honest. I do not want to be a state trooper. You say, why? I don't like getting shot at. And I don't want to be a mom. You say, why? I can give you multiple reasons why. My wife, she used to leave the kids with me and go out for a little while. She'd say, I'll be gone about an hour. If she's gone an hour and 3 minutes, I was fit to be tied. You say, why? Those 3 extra minutes were torture. How could they ask me any more questions or make any more messes? I think God had a unique appreciation and respect for moms. Hey, mom, are you weary? Dads have our way of compartmentalizing and shutting it off. So many moms, it's hard to do. You say, I'm a mom and I can't figure out how to stop being overwhelmed with the care right now. And I'm concerned and my heart's broken. And so let me say to every mom here, I believe that God on purpose put a mama at the resurrection so He could say to that mom and to every mom, I'll give you the power that you need to do what you need to do. I really believe this, and I speak of no one in particular. There are women who are married that play mom to their own husband. It's a big deal. I watch mamas as they're rearing little ones. There are moms under the sound of my voice right now. They've not slept in days. Why? They have infants that have not adjusted to life. Boy, moms, you know what it's like. That baby gets that all clogged up in their sinuses. And hey, sometimes you can't tell a baby to blow and get it out of there. And you worry. And I'm just talking about into the night you worry. Dad's snoring. Mama's listening to everything going on, and moms get weary. And mamas get tired. And from what I see, I don't think it stops. You felt that way when they were little. You felt that way when they were teenagers. You felt that way when they became adults. Now they've got their own household. And they've got their own husband. They've got their own kids. And at night you're saying, I hope they're okay. I hope they're okay. Hey, mama. As much as you love, then your heart is broken. You may have a child right now that lives in your home that tends to be rebelling against what's right. They don't want to listen right now and your heart is broken. Or maybe it is that you have a child and they're grown and they're out of the house and you reared them better and they've been taught not to do it that way and they've been taught not to live that way and it crushes your heart and you wish they were right with God and you wish that they read their Bible and you wish that they loved the God that you love the way that you love them and your heart is broken. Let me say something to every mother under the sound of my voice. You You can do it, Mama. You can make it. You can take it. I believe that God in His sovereign will put this woman at this place, at this time, so every mom in history could hear somebody say, Mama, you can do it. Why? Because of the power of the resurrection. That day Jesus proved He has all power. And that means, Mama, it doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what your burden is. God can get you through it. You can survive the broken heart. The other, Mary. And then there's a lady at the tomb. Her name's Salome. Mark 16:1 it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, Salome was brought. And she brought sweet spices. Now, who was she? Her name in the Hebrew language means one of restitution or payback. I think God wanted a lady there by that name with that definition of the name, payback or restitution, for a special reason. God wanted her there because I think maybe even a sermon such as this, He knew in the future would be preached. Let me ask you a question. Are you running from God today? And you owe Him restitution? God's been good to you, but you've ignored Him. God's blessed you, but in recent days, weeks, months, years, you've not been so good to Him. You owe God an apology. Do you feel the pressure almost to pay back to God? Have you wasted your life and you fear there's some restitution that ought to be provided? Do you know that there are people that run from God and they're almost fearful to come to church because they know they're not right with God and they're scared to death of sermons just like this, where the Holy Spirit of God reaches down from heaven and squeezes their heart and squeezes their conscience? They can't wait until it's over with. And can't we get to the end and have the altar call and get out of here so I can ignore the fact that God's still dealing with my heart? Salome. Restitution. She was at the tomb for a reason. I think God is saying this. You say, I've wasted some of my training and I've wasted my testimony. I've wasted my body and I've wasted my money and I've wasted my opportunity in life. Well, let me tell you something. What you have wasted does not keep God from providing something from here on out for you. Did you know all you have to do is render an apology? Not hard. Turn to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've kind of messed some things up. But I don't want my life to continue in that direction. You know what God will do? Forgive you. He's a forgiving God. You see, the resurrection is a picture of victory over death. Power over whatever would stop us. Salome was there because her name means restitution. Maybe she was there because there would be people that would feel like, I've wasted so many things and I'm a little embarrassed to get with God and go to God and go to church and I messed up my testimony. Listen, God loves you and God wants you to get it fixed. I got to hurry. I've got two more that I'll give you, but they'll go quickly. It'll be painless. John was there. John was there. The Bible says in John chapter 20, verse number 3, it says, Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulcher. Now, do you know who the other disciple is? It was the disciple whom Jesus loved. John. Are we shocked that John was there? He loved Jesus. He just loved Him. It's the disciple whom Jesus loved. And by the way, some of the others may have come with a little doubt. I do not think that John showed up at the tomb doubting. They came to see the sepulcher. John came to see that Jesus was gone. I think John at this point in his life was right with God. You say, what makes you so sure? Just a few hours earlier, Jesus was hanging on the cross, and he looked down, and Mary, Jesus' mom, was there, and John was there. And Jesus says to John, "John, I'm going to die. John, you take my mom home with you." Now, Jesus would have never sent his mama home with John if John were not right with God. So John's here at the resurrection. You say, why? It's reward time. It's reward time. I happen to believe John was right with God, and God said, "I want somebody there to see that resurrection that can represent all those that have not wavered in their faith, and all of those that have been faithful, and all of those that have hung in there, and all of those that have decided they're going to do right no matter what." I think God wanted John there at the resurrection as a reward. I think the resurrection said to John, "Hey, John, hey, you were right, John. You're standing and preaching and then throwing rocks at you because I said I was going to resurrect. You were right, John. Hang in there, John. Keep it up, John. Hey, John, you're on the winning side. You picked the right side of things." I think when Jesus resurrected, he said to John, I told you. Let me say to everybody in here, you're faithful. God bless you. Victory is yours. Keep doing right. We get excited about Mary Magdalene, that scarred prostitute that was at the resurrection. And all of us root for her and say, "God bless you, Mary. You can do this. The Savior's resurrected power, Mary. You can rebuild your life. You can still have a good life." Well, let me say something to all of you that are faithful to God and you give like you're to give and you're in church like you're supposed to be and you're telling others about Jesus Christ. You can keep serving God. And there is reward available. You know, I'm amazed. Yeah, do you know that later on in life, John faces terrible persecution? Boiled in oil, exiled to the Isle of Patmos. But I'll tell you what, old John's out on the Isle of Patmos. He'd been boiled alive in oil. You ever seen a picture of someone that's face has been burnt to the point where you can't see where their eyes are? That's John now. John has been boiled alive in oil some months down the line. They take him to an island and leave him there. I picture him on the bank and the water splashing up on the bank, and he's got him a old quill and tablet and he's writing something. If you'd been there, you could say, "John, what are you writing?" He said, "Just some stuff." "Well, what is it?" "God's revealing some things to me." "Ah, what's he revealing?" "Well, God calls it the revelation." While he was out there on that island, God was meeting with him and saying, "John, I'm going to show you like no man ever what heaven's going to be like. I'm going to reveal to you the rapture. I'm going to reveal to you the river of life and the gates of pearl. You just keep writing. I'm going to tell you something. I believe that it was resurrection power that got John through the boiling in oil. And I think it was resurrection power that got old John through being exiled on the Isle of Patmos. But there was great reward for John. There were some soldiers there at the tomb. You say, why were they there? Because they needed salvation. And Jesus pulled them all together after the resurrection and said, "Hey guys, let me tell you, go out and get everybody saved that you can. Go help everybody that you can." I thought the personalities at the tomb were quite unique. And probably one of, or maybe more than one of those personalities might fit you today. Maybe you can gather some encouragement, as they did, from the resurrection and the power that's available to you and I as Christians.